Amen. Great to worship God. Why don't we stand up and welcome each other? It's a new year. Let's say Happy New Year and pray a blessing, God. Bless you. New Year's.
Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year. Oh, man. All right, you may be seated. All right, let's just find a chair again. Boy, there's a lot of excitement about this new year. That's good. That's good. Really believe that God's going to lead us, and he has some amazing plans and purposes for us as we move into a new year. 2014 is going to be exciting. Amen? Amen. Thank you, God. God's in control, and he leads, and he directs us, and he has been faithful in the past, right? I'm in competition here still. It's okay. You guys go ahead. Minister, pray, talk. We're just worshiping God. I want to just mention that there's going to be a gift seminar this Saturday. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. There will be a lunch provided. Pastor Bob, can you just turn this down just a little bit? Pastor Bob, who is at our kitchen all the time, and he's goes to Trinity. Trinity, right? Not Trinity, Liberty. Same thing. We're all one church. Doesn't matter. He's a wonderful man of God. He's a great pastor. He's got a pastor's heart, and he's going to lead that seminar. And Arlene, put your hand up, wave it a couple times. Arlene's kind of in charge of that, and if you want to let her know that you're coming, there's going to be a lunch provided, and it'll be a real blessing. It'll be great. Thank you, God. We are going to hear this morning from a couple of people who are on a mission field today, from Frank and Leanne, who were gone for about, how long were you gone for? You're gone 2.5 months. You're gone for about a month, right? And just, you know, it's one of the things that God's been doing among us, and I think he's going to keep doing, is just sending people out, bringing people back from Costa Rica or from Mexico or from Indonesia or for other places. We know that we need to get out. We're doing it all the time in our own streets, and we need to be there too. There's a mission field in our own backyards. There's a mission field downtown. There's a mission field in the apartment that you live in maybe, or in the acreage that you live in. It doesn't matter where you're at. There's a mission field for us, and so I'm just excited and welcome you guys to share what God has been doing and some of the stories of what happened when you guys were on that mission. Come on up.
Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year's. Yeah, we're here to exalt the Lord today and talk to you about what he's done in the lives of the people that we met. Now, as you know, I have a ministry called Empty Hospitals International. 20-some years ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, I called you to empty hospitals. I didn't really know what that meant yet or how he desired to go about it. But I've come to believe, and we've kind of proven it on the mission field, that regular, ordinary people can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that you have a seminar coming up this weekend. Avail yourself to it, because I think that we're just ready to walk into a new level with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that if you get a little training and understanding under your belt, you'll be much more effective and much more confident in what God has called you to do personally, right? So we kind of went to South Africa for a couple of weeks. then to Nigeria for 2 weeks, and then I went to Malaysia for 6 weeks, and we pretty much did the same thing. What we would do is we would go into a church and minister to the people, get them healed of a bunch of things, but more specifically, emotional healing. Now, we ministered a lot in healing of the broken heart. The Bible says through hope deferred, the heart is made sick. But when desire comes, it's a tree of life. Now, how many of us have hoped for something that was just seemed to be just out of our reach over and over and over again? Or we had deep disappointment. One of our children made a painful choice and it cost everybody. Or, you know, a death in the family. And it just seemed like that you were unable just to recover from the loss or the grief or the... But you know what? This is pretty common with most people. So when we minister along these lines of healing the broken heart, we find that the reach is so great that almost everybody can receive from this kind of a healing. So the Lord has trained us to do that. And also the Bible talks about the innermost parts of the belly quite a bit. The innermost parts of the belly, the part of us where a lot of things are stored. First of all, there's a lot of memories that are stored there. Emotionally, a lot of the emotional responses that we have are really created in that region of the body. For instance, you've heard people say, well, you know, I thought to do this, but, you know, with my gut, I just knew I needed to make this choice. How many of you heard that or said it yourself, right? Or that, you know, it was such a gut-wrenching experience. You know, I got nauseous and I wanted to vomit and it was so painful. Man, was I so conflicted. Well, they felt that right here. And the Bible talks about the belly a lot. Jesus said, the water that I give you, if you drink it, you'll never thirst, but it'll be a water, it'll be a well in you springing up into everlasting life. But what happens when that well has been damaged or fractured? The Bible says that when the Philistines saw how prosperous Isaac were, they envied Isaac, and their response to their envy was that they went and filled all his wells with dirt. So they cut off the supply of life for his cattle and his livelihood. And you know, the devil does that a lot to us. He cuts off the supply of livelihood and life that Jesus said that would be in our innermost being. He said, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But the Bible says the words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down into the innermost parts of the belly. All of us have been wounded in our life through words. We have been treated shamelessly and taken advantage of and had terrible things spoken over our lives. Sometimes those words can cripple and wound us, and they can create a barrier and a filter by which we see life through. And it limits us, you know. So the Lord is showing us that these things are real, but they can also be healed. So what we've done is we've gone into these churches, taught on this, got everybody healed from these emotional wounds. Then we imparted the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healings, the gifts of working of miracles, and the gift of faith. Then we've taken people from the church out to the hospitals and watch them perform miracles in the name of Jesus. It's incredible to see the look on a face of somebody who sat in the pew for years. All of a sudden, they're in the hospital laying hands on somebody, first time in their life, and they get healed. Hallelujah. But we learned some things too. We learned that really that the broken heart was a root of a lot of sicknesses that people suffer from. For instance, we were in a hospital in Nigeria praying for a lady who had very severe high blood pressure. You're not going to be in the hospital with high blood pressure unless it's severe. So she's in the critical unit, and we're praying for her. Probably about three Nigerian guys that we were training, they were praying for her, just praying in tongues and fervently praying. And I just got the impression that we were praying about the wrong thing. We were praying that the blood pressure would come down. And so I said, you know, wait a minute, guys. I believe this woman has a broken heart. So let's turn our focus and let's pray that God would heal her broken heart. So we laid hands on her and we asked the Lord to heal the brokenness and to take away the sorrows and the pains and the traumas of her youth and the things that she went through. And you know what? Instantly she was healed. Guess what? Her blood pressure stabilized and normalized. And we're going, wow! It wasn't the blood pressure wasn't the problem. It was the broken heart. Wow! Imagine what you can literally be free from were you to be healed in those deepest parts. You know what I mean? I mean, we enter into the kingdom, we come in for, you know, our brokenness and whatever, but I think Jesus wants to take us to levels that we have yet to see. And I think that enabling the church, really, to get out of the pews and go do the works of Christ is really what I'm called to do, and what we proved it. We proved it on the mission field. We proved it over and over and over again. We saw church after church set free, really, because they were very self-absorbed and self-enclosed in their religion. They, you know, only operated in the four walls. But, you know, they got set free to go and do the works of Jesus Christ. And I never seen anything like it. I suspected that it was true that you could really enable and equip and send people out and really to go with them and teach them. But we proved it. You know what I mean? And so that was very affirming for us. So I think every time I go out, I like to take somebody with me who never been to Africa, certainly, and give them a taste of what it's like. And Leanne Tireman went with me this year. So she has a few testimonies she'd like to share from our experiences together. So,
One of the things I experience most of all during the month is the joy of the Lord will be your strength. It was totally, we laughed and we had joy and shared that laughter and that joy with other people, and it really does help. But I wanted to read a scripture from Psalm 15:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. While we certainly experience fullness in every aspect, signs, wonders, miracle, I got imparted with those gifts and the gifts of faith. And then in turn, as we went to church, I was able to share that. One of the things I did preach on, which was a stretching thing for me, when my picture's on the poster, and Frank says, we're going to some conferences. And I said, well, who are the speakers? And he said, we are. And my picture's on the poster. So I really did have to stretch and rely on the Lord for that. But as he said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I gave my testimony of healing three times in various churches in the two different countries. And I guess the main theme of it was that probably most of you know that after 35 years, my marriage ended. So it's very devastating. So the theme of it was that I gleaned everything I could for healing from God, from friends, from His Word, from support groups. So I shared that testimony of healing. So it was really received well, especially for women in the church that were hurting. So that was awesome. And yeah, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And it's good to have a testimony. Oh, I can say, well, that happened to you and that happened to me. But the testimony is when you can rise above the journey of pain and suffering that you're going through. That's the testimony, because if we don't go there, then we just stay the victim. And so for most of us, there's deep things in our lives or something we've recently went through, but God is there to get you through that, and he wants you to rise above it because he wants to do greater things than he did. He said that when he left and went to heaven. He said to his disciples, you will do greater things. And I think we need to believe that in the church, that God wants to equip us with all the fullness. So in that verse, there was fullness. So one of the testimonies was, we'll start with, is as we were leaving South Africa, we missed the plane. We were in a church and we were late getting to the airport. And we thought it was because we were late, but it was because somebody had stolen equipment to fuel the planes. And so we were late. We were at the counter and we encountered a Muslim man. Do you want to tell that part?
Okay. Is this one live? Yeah.
There was this Muslim man kind of distraught at the ticket counter. His father was really sick, and he was sitting on the floor, really pale and just really looked terrible. And so the man was complaining and just shouting at the counter. And so so I just reached over and touched the man on the shoulder, and I said, it's going to be okay. I'm going to pray for your father, and it'll be fine. Okay? And he got tears in his eyes, and he said, thank you, you know, and he calmed right down. And so then we, Leanne and I went over and laid hands on the man and just prayed for him in English for a little bit. Then we prayed in tongues for a bit, and the color came back into his face, you know, and then he was fine. But what was really surprising about the story was that the evangelists that we were with, they were so surprised that we were praying for Muslims, because it's just something you don't do. And they think, well, you know, that's a miracle. But, you know, I think it's the first step, really, you know, of evangelism, you know. If I can meet a need, or we can meet a need, then I've got a man's attention, you see. And so miracle, really, really a miracle that we could do that.
So I think, you know, we just accepted and had a good attitude about missing the plane, and we went back to the widow's house in Windmill Park, and I said to Frank, let's go out. Often I would grab my camera, and I didn't want to be in a house or in a hotel room. I wanted to go out where the people were. So we went walking. We went to the church. We cleaned up the church because they had taken the tent down. And as we were walking out the gates of the church, a young man came by and I said, is there anything I can pray for you today? And that was a typical line that I would say to people, and it just really opened up something. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to, he said, come back to the house. And so his grandparents lived kitty corner to the church, and we walked in the house and we said, we're going to pray for you and your son. They were so full of joy. So we held hands and we prayed. Now, Frank asked a young man if he wanted to accept the Lord. He had when he was young, and he said no. He said, well, why? I'll just do the same thing, you know, tomorrow. And we still prayed in the circle, and then he left, and his grandparents said that they had raised him since he was one, and he was part of the gangs there and had been shot twice, and the house had been shot. So the area we stayed was, you know, you could say dangerous, but we didn't have any fear about that. We were just doing the Lord's will. So we went back to the house, and the next day, as we were leaving, I gathered a bag, a Canada bag, and put some stuff in it because he had children. And I walked into the house, and they said, there's our angel. And she shared that she actually had a dream that white people would come to their house and pray for them. So us missing the ride in the airplane fulfilled her dream that God had given her. So there's a lot more to the story. Do you want to tell?
Imagine God stopping your plane just because one vision had not been fulfilled yet. Isn't that great? Wow. Yeah.
And because we stayed too, people came to the house. We were able to pray for them, and Frank put the mantle on them, so we're able to do that with the past bishop and his wife and our dear beloved Apostle Elijah. So just so many things happened from us missing the plane.
And then what Leanne didn't say is that she got to speak on television before about 10 million people.
I'll tell that story. It's a cool one. We were in Johannesburg, and it was Pastor Mercy and Bishop and Frank, and Bishop went into some business or something, and I walked over, and there was two abortion posters, and I took pictures of them, and I just said to the Lord, well, if you want me to talk about abortion, I will. And I just pondered that in my heart. I didn't tell anybody else. It was just between the Lord and I. So we were to talk at this TV station, and the bishop kept saying it was Frank and him that were going to speak. And then once in a while, he'd mention me, and then I said to Frank, am I going to talk? And so once we got to the TV station, the interviewer just wanted to talk to Frank and I, and it was a wonderful interview. I wish we could have finished it because I had a lot to say. But then a storm hit, and the power went out. So we ended up in a lunchroom with natural light, and they provided a beautiful lunch for us. And Frank had mentioned, you know, in Canada how there's a lot of pornography. They don't have TV and computers like we do. And then I mentioned the abortion poster and my experience at the Pregnancy Care Center and my personal experience with that. And he said, would you go on camera and give a 10 or 15 minute interview? So they took me to the back of the TV station, and I gave a, you know, 10 or 15 minute interview on abortion. It was more on the healing part of it, because there's so many people that sit in a church and they're hurting from abortion and they don't want to tell anybody, and it's a secret. Because I think the pre-topic was, I believe, that's why marriages break up, a big part of it. Because if you've got emotion, post-traumatic disorder from abortion, and you're in a relationship, whether you were the man or the woman, how do you have a healthy relationship? So there's so many things in our life that are so deep that really affect the spirit, our spiritual being, and the around us too, the people in our lives. And as we receive healing, I feel that it really does affect the people. So, I mean, that was so awesome, and I just want to read the scripture just to give God the glory for that. Ephesians 3. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There's that fullness again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So, I mean, could you imagine that scenario? I couldn't have imagined that we were going to be on TV and that 10 million people would see that testimony, and that the storm would come and the power would go out and that topic would come out and someone asked me to share. So, but most of the trip was like that. These are just a couple of examples of how God continually, daily provided signs, miracles, wonder. But I mean, just having the joy of the Lord. I did more healing there. I did more growing there. And, you know, from that trip, I'll never be the same. And I'm very thankful.
Amen. Talk about your broken hearts with the abortion and, you know, all that post-traumatic stuff, and even the death of a baby, you know, that hasn't even been born yet, you know, a baby that was wanted and just didn't make it, you know. I mean, there's so much hurt and sorrow, you know. But if you can, you know, if you can just meet people right in the very place of their need, it, with just the timing of the Lord, you know, just the timing of God to come in at just the right moment. We in Malaysia, we had this call. A boy had ran through an intersection. He was on a green light, but there was a lady walking across the street, and he hit her, killed the lady. He hit his head and was in ICU, and they cut his head open to alleviate the swelling and everything, and he was in a coma. And so somebody heard we were in town, so they called, and asked if we would come. So we went and prayed for the guy. Then afterwards, we prayed and asked Jesus to visit this boy while he was asleep. He was a Hindu boy. He wasn't even a Christian, a Hindu boy. And we prayed. And then we went out and talked to his parents that were Hindu and his family. And we said, you know, God sent us 20,000 miles to pray for your son. You know, we understand, you know, with the Lord, that if the man of the house will give his life to Christ, the blessing will flow right through the house. And how would you like to do that? And he said, no. I said, why not? He said, we're waiting to see which God is going to heal him. Because the Hindus, they believe in a million different gods, right? And so we said, fair enough, but at least let us pray for you. So the lady that I was with and another pastor and this whole Hindu family, we gathered around in a circle. And I said, Lord, hit him with your power and hit him with your peace. And immediately God got their attention immediately. And then right after that, this Chinese lady, she came running up to us and she said, pray for us. She was crying. Her niece had been thrown from a car, hit her head, same ICU. She's in an operation. And so we're praying. We're praying with that. And we noticed that two of the little Hindu kids came and joined us in the circle. They wanted to feel the power of God again. Right? So they did that. And then they were comforted. And then this other family came. And we were just right in the place of many families' needs, right? Just right there. It turned it from 1 hour to 4 hours just from praying for people. Then a couple of days later, we heard that the boy that we prayed for woke up 2 hours after we left. But the second girl, the one who got thrown from the car, she died. So I said to my host, I said, hey, let's go raise her from the dead. And she says, great. So we jumped in the car and drove down to the hospital. The morgue was closed until 2 o'clock. So we had an hour to kill. So we went back to the Hindu family, the boy. He'd woken up, responding great, doing well. And so we said, you know, the other day you said that you didn't want to receive Jesus because you wanted to wait and see which God healed your boy. And I said, will you now admit that no other God showed up but Jesus? Here we are again.
Amen.
And they go, that's right. Yeah. Jesus is the one that showed up. He's the one that showed up. And so so they said, you know, it's our boy's birthday today. I said, oh, happy birthday. And I said, you know, I got two birthdays. And they said, really? I said, yeah. I was born in January from my mother, but I was born in June by the Holy Ghost. I was born again. And they said, what? And so I went into John chapter 3 and talked about Nicodemus and Jesus and how he said, you must be born again. And he said, how is an old man can I go back into my mother's womb a second time? This is nuts. He said, no. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's me, January. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's me in June. Mm. But you'll never forget your second birthday because it'll be the same as your son's birthday,
amen.
His first birthday. Mm-hmm. It's his birthday today, his first birthday, but it's going to be your second birthday today. Will you receive Jesus? Yes. So we prayed with the whole Hindu family around the bed. We held hands. And all six of them came to the Lord because of one miracle. And you know what? We milked that miracle for weeks and weeks in the hospital, in the churches. We were preaching to Hindu audiences, and week after week after week, we just kind of kept telling that testimony. And you know that one, just that one miracle. Just because we were in the place of a person's point of need, then it became a testimony to give glory to God and to win many souls. There are many Hindus saved because the difference between Jesus and religion. Now, religion says this, you must sacrifice and you must serve your gods
And all the religions are like this. But there's only one person who ever came to the world with this attitude. I came not to be served, but to serve. And I came to be a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. So all the other gods, they want you to sacrifice and they want you to serve. But Jesus came to serve and leave an example for us, but he also became a sacrifice for us. And you know, that was the real difference. And that made a difference for so many Hindu people that they understood the difference now. Now they understood that there's only one God that shows up. There's only one God that can show up. He's the only true and living God. He's the only one that shows up to serve. So in 2014, I pray that you will develop a servant's heart. I pray that you would ask God to position you in the place of people's greatest need. I pray that you will become a soul winner, that you'll reach out to people and you really touch them, you know, because I believe we're all called to do that, not just one person, not just, you know, a person who may be eloquent in speech, but no, everybody knows somebody, mm-hmm. and everybody can make a difference. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all I got. Did you want to share something else?
Yeah, about a quick story from Nigeria. One of the things I said to Frank when we were in Africa is that, you know, many people came to the Lord easily and were healed, but I claim a prophecy for Canada that that will be the same here, because we believe the lie that it can't happen in Canada, and you think because you're in Africa that, oh, it's more spiritual there, and yeah, they are open to it more because they pray more. So, but I claim that for Canada, and stop believing the lie that the things that happen there won't happen here. And
Or that it's hard to win souls here. Yes. It's not.
So I'll give a quick story about our last day in Enugu. I always have a hard time. Nigeria. We were waiting for a ride, and of course it's African time. They said they'd be there at 8. It's about 10. But Frank was sleeping, and I got one of my little Canada bags and filled it up with clothes I didn't want and things I brought along, and went to this compound beside the hotel, and we didn't get there. We went out on the streets a lot, and people were delivered and led to the Lord. And so I think the word gets around. Of course, you're two white people walking down the street with a camera. And so I brought the little bag over and then gave it to a young mom and her son. And the compound was owned by an older lady, and that's how they live. You know, many people in that compound. And when I was sleeping, my side of the hotel, I could smell the smoke in the morning and the smoke at supper, because that's what they cooked on kettles. They didn't have the conveniences that we had. So I went back, Frank was up, we had coffee, and Daniel, that works at the hotel, came and said, a lady wants you to pray for her. So we went over into the little building in the compound, and there was the bag that I had given the young person, but she brought it to the lady that owned the compound, and she had her hip was displaced, and so we laid our hands on her and prayed. And one thing we learned to do is ask people, how do you feel? Did you feel anything? She said, yeah, I can feel a burning in my hip. So there's quite a bit to the story, but another man came, and I'm not sure if he was her son or not, but he asked for prayer, and his leg was so inflamed and hot, and so I prayed for this man's leg, and it went from hot to cold. It was instantly healed. So that was very encouraging for me. And then later on, when he came back, Frank talked to him and led him to the Lord. I saw that there was stitches so on his leg, so he must have had an infection from a cut or something. And then as we were walking back to the hotel, this man came up with two wives and a little girl and said, can you pray for my daughter? She's having nightmares. So we prayed for her daughter. They came to know the Lord, and Daniel interpreted for us. So we were just having coffee, waiting for a ride. Six people came to know the Lord. Two people got healed.
Six Muslims.
And then Daniel, he's a Christian, but worked in the hotel and, of course, was observing us. So we imparted the gifts to him, the gift of faith, the working of signs, wonders, and miracles. And I said to him, and we adopted him as our son, because you do that in that culture. And I said, now you can pray for these people around your hotel, because it's easy to go to work and then never reach the people around you. We're guilty of that. And so he did email Frank a couple days later and said that that lady was doing well. So obviously he did go back there and found out how she was doing. Yeah. So there's just so, we could talk for a long time, but that was like just a wondrous day before we left, you know, that city, how it's just, listening to that still small voice, you know, why don't you take that over to the compound? You know, why don't you take that bag over to that family before you go to the airport? Just really listening to the Lord. So I give him the glory because he orchestrates all these things that happen.
Yeah.
And I think if you're willing to listen, and he provides the people that need the prayer, need salvation, need healing. And it was a wonderful trip. And I just thank Frank. He was a good mentor. And we flowed together. We started thinking together. When we prayed for people, prophesied, we were getting the same words from the Lord. And people thought we knew each other for years, and we had only known each other for a couple months. So it was just amazing how God really united us and was there in that trip. So thanks for letting us share.
It was awesome. Come here. I think we just got to pray. Thank you, God, for opportunities. Thank you for truth that we hear today. Thank you, Lord, that you do the same things in every corner of the world. Thank you that you want, Lord, for your gifts to be poured out upon your church, and that we, in faith, move according to your truth and according to your word. I thank you for Frank and Leanne and for the encouragement we received today from the way that you use them and for the gifts that they have. Some of the gifts are very specific gifts, and I thank you that they're part of our body and that we benefit from that too. We pray, God, the same thing that we've been hearing this morning, that there'll be many in this coming year who'll come to know you, Lord. That more than anything else, we'll see people's knees bow and their tongues confess that Christ is the Lord. And that, Lord, we are encouraged by these stories, that there's new stories every day and every week. And we need to keep hearing them as well, God, of lives that are being changed, and that there's hope for people who think there is no hope. And I pray, God, for anyone who's here today and who feels that emptiness deep inside their gut and who is broken inside, that they won't leave without having your hand touch them and without your healing power, Lord. Changing what needs to be changed and restoring what needs to be restored. You are the redeeming God. Hey. Continue to redeem your people, God. And I pray that we won't lose sight of the vision that you've given us to reach out into Red Deer, into downtown, into every corner of the city, and even from beyond there, Lord, and calling people to faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this encouragement. We're encouraged today, and it's a great way to start a new year. And so we just say, lead on, O King Eternal. Lead on. We'll follow you, Jesus. Anywhere you go, God, we'll follow you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Well, I'm a little confused as to where to go from here. I think, Jerry, would you come up here? I think God's maybe moving in a just slightly different direction. That's okay. I don't know if you thought I was going to call you or not, but no, but that's okay.
Have your Bible and have your post-it notes ready.
You have something to share. I think maybe, you know, there's some things we need to share stories a little bit. We need to hear that kind of stuff. And I know that you've been through a bit in the last little while, and I know God's been good and faithful and showed himself too. So maybe you can just carry on.
And certainly he has. First of all, thank you on behalf of our daughter Shelley and family for the prayers that came from this fellowship. And thank you for the prayers for Gladys and I, because that was our sustaining grace through this. It wasn't a merry Christmas, but it was a good Christmas, because our son-in-law, who passed away after the double lung transplant, knew the Lord, and he had hope. And that was really a blessing. You know, sometimes it's difficult to do a memorial service or a funeral because you get a lot of blank looks when you're looking out there. But in that crowd, there was enough believers, and it's a lot easier to preach with enthusiasm and excitement when the person that's gone, he's there and we're still here. And he was dining somewhere fine, and I was eating them little three-corner sandwiches. So it was a real blessing. Felt the power of the Lord. And as the missionary said, you know, opportunities are everywhere. And God has given us a measure of faith. There's no one in this room who hasn't got a gift of some kind. And what it took me long years to learn was this, and asking God, Lord, you present the opportunities, you present them, you pick them, not me or they'll be my victims. You pick them and then you tell me what I'm supposed to say. You give me words from your word, your truth, your encouragement. And believe me, that happens. That happens. He wants people who will serve. He wants them. The fields are ripe for the harvest. Workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send workers into the field. And that's us, workers in the field. This stuck with me with Marvin. When you're sucking hard for air and afraid to die at any time, and especially at night, didn't like to go to sleep, because until you know the Lord, you don't know where you're going to wake up or if you are. But prior to him accepting the Lord, I gave him this scripture and put it on a bright orange like that post-it note. That helps old people remember, and Marvin was 67, so he was creeping up there. And this is a scripture I gave him to put by his bed to read every night from Psalm 4, verse 8. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So you're equipped. You got the book. You got the power. Don't be afraid to use it. Good word.
Amen. You got the book, you got the power, don't be afraid to use it. That's the sermon. Three parts, right? You got the book, you got, don't be, one, two, three. So there you go. Mari, would you come up? And Rob and Jeanette, would you come up too? Mari is a missionary to Australia. Well, that's using it a little loosely, but Mari has been with us for about 6 weeks again, and she's come to visit us a few times. You were here last time, was it 11 years ago? And Mari could tell you the difference, and this is really good for me. Good to someone comes back and say, let me tell you what's changed around here. And we didn't have enough time to talk about this, but, you know, the growth at Potter's, the development, the maturity, the gifts that are starting to flow more, the joy. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I do want to give you an opportunity if you want to share something.
Well, just one thing I said to Jeanette, this is to Rob just now. I said, I don't want to go home. This is my home. Just being amongst you all and hearing the testimonies and the love that's coming from the people here. Just, I've got to go because God's got work for me to do. Some months ago, the Lord told me I've crossed the line. I don't know what this means. He said, I'm no longer a stayer and player. I'm a mover and shaker. I'm up the mountain and I'm not coming down. I'm out on eagle's wings. Mm. So just hearing the testimonies today, you know, this is the minister speaking. Where am I going? I don't have a clue, but I know that I'll be prayed for and loved through whatever I've got to go through.
Yep. Amen. We love you. We
love you.
Some monitors. Yeah, it's been an incredible journey with Mari. We've only known her really for about 3 weeks altogether in time that we've spent together over 11 years. Aaron and I had the privilege of visiting her while we were in Australia for a couple days on her birthday. Yes. Every time she shows up, it's her birthday. I don't know. It's just, you know, we put on a wedding for her birthday this year, so that was even a great party. But it's been a blessing to have you here, and you've touched so many lives in Red Deer, from the guy in the cafe that had Bah Humbug on his coat, and she shared Jesus with him right there. You know, and people that we ran into in Lake Louise, she was sharing Jesus with. She just wants to share Jesus with everyone she meets. So this lady is a missionary. Yeah. and we appreciate it. Yeah. So we just want to pray for you and send you on your way. We're not going to let you go yet, but that's okay. Father God, we just thank you for Mari. Thank you for her heart. Thank you that she follows you wherever you lead, Lord God. She didn't even know she was coming here, didn't even believe she would be here. Lord God, you brought her here. We just want to send her on her way on eagle's wings, as she said, Lord, with you in the lead, and you bring her home safe and to her family, Lord God, and to whatever mission field that you're going to bring her to, whether it be in Australia or in Africa. She has a pastor friend in Africa that has invited her. Lord God, we just commit her to you. Just have your way. Lord, your will be done in her life. Just bless her as she's blessed us. We just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I think the theme has been, you know, testify. Tell your story. Listen to God, because God's got someone that he wants to cross your path with, and someone who needs to hear about God or needs to hear what's going on in your life. And that everyone has an opportunity. You know, I was just thinking about what a interesting church we have. I mean that in the best possible sense. You know, that we're made up of all the different pieces of the puzzle. It's not just one piece of the puzzle. I mean, I love Mitch. I really love Mitch. Thank you. But I'm glad we don't have a church full of Mitches. Yeah, I mean, we need Mitch. We need Frank, and we need Stan, and we need, you know, all the different pieces. But we're not all the same. And so you don't need to look at someone, you go, wow, that was just an amazing thing that happened in their lives, but that'll never happen in my life. That's not true. Whatever happens in your life is amazing. And whatever God wants to do will be amazing. And it doesn't need to be what Charlene's doing or what Tim's doing. It's what God's doing in you. And I think that's a really cool, I'm glad. You know, there was a time in my life when I was a part of a church, and some of you probably been in churches like this, where we were all the same. I mean, we pretty much all were cut out of the same piece of cloth, it seemed like. We all looked the same. We all dressed the same. We all sat the same. We all yawned the same. And it wasn't great, you know. Like, I'm so glad to be a place where there are some peculiar people here. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. They fit with the rest of us who are peculiar. I like that. I think God likes that. I think that's how he energizes and moves by his Holy Spirit through all of us, regardless of who we are. We, each of us is an important part of the body. Each of us is vital, each one of us. So I just thank God for that. And I want to just lead you in a brief word this morning where God's been leading me this week, and maybe we'll carry on with it, you know, next week. I don't know. Let's see. But I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah. I've been thinking about some of the stuff that people have been talking about today, 2014, and where's God leading? What's going to happen in 2014? I always tend at this time of the year to look back on the last year and then start looking forward and wondering about where God is going to lead and what's going to happen. And I don't have the answers to that question. All I know is that God's still in control. All I really know is that he is everlasting God, and he's got a plan. I mean, this may be the year where his son returns. This may be the time, and I know and you know that we're getting closer and closer to that day. The days are evil. Maybe this will be the year that Jesus returns. I don't know when he's going to come, because God's word says that no one will know the time or the hour. But I do know that God's going to lead us. And I got encouragement from this word today, or this week. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. This is God speaking. Isaiah 60. I'm just going to read a few verses. I'm going to cut it a little bit, do something a little different here today. Just, Lord, you have your way. Yeah, just pray first maybe. So God, have your way today and speak to us. We want to hear directly from your word. We've heard testimony. We've heard how your spirit has moved. We've heard about miracles and changing. We've heard how you've brought people from death into an eternal life, like in the case of Marvin. Thank you, God. And we just want to hear you today. Your word is powerful, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword. So leave us today with a direct and a clear message from you. We pray this for the sake of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus. Amen. So just astounding words for me is Isaiah 60, where he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light." Isn't that great? Nations, other people, the Gentiles, other nations, they will come to this light. "And kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. And then you will look and be radiant. Then you will look and be radiant. And your heart will throb and swell with joy. And the wealth on the seas will be brought to you. And to you the riches of the nations will come." I'm just going to stop there. That's the first words. Are just such a thematic statement and something that we just ought to really take to heart. "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Isn't that great? These are words of, you know, the prophet Isaiah, and they're written, you know, 7 centuries before Jesus was even born. Arise and shine. "For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." The context of these words, these are words that were written to a people who were just about to be delivered from captivity. They'd been in captivity for a long time to the Assyrians. For 70 years, they were captives of the Babylonians, and there was no hope. It just didn't seem like there was hope in their lives. There's a lot of darkness. There was a lot of oppression. There was persecution. There was hunger. They were going through some really, you have to understand, I guess, the context of this to understand the words. And I'm not going to belabor it, but understand that they'd been crying out to God year after year after year. "God, save us. God, redeem us. God, when are we going to be able to go back to the city? When are we going to go back to our land? When will you restore us to our nation?" And God says, "It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you. I'm going to shine a new light on you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to put you on a new road, and that road is going to bring you into a new place. Arise." You know, he gets to the point. This is sort of the climax of it. We find, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Right? It's time to be redeemed. It's time for you to be able to go home again. "There's great darkness in the land." Verse 2 talks about the darkness. "You see, darkness covers the earth, and a thick darkness is over the peoples. The Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears to you." If we back up a few words in Isaiah 59, you just need to hear this. 59 verse 9, you hear the darkness. And we need to know that, you know, the light doesn't mean anything unless there's darkness, right? You need to know that the context of this is light doesn't mean anything unless we need to be delivered from something, or unless there's just this thick cloud of darkness. Verse 9 of Isaiah 59, here's what Isaiah wrote. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. We look for brightness, but we walk in the deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes. And at midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. Not a descriptive way to, you know, talk about darkness and gloom. The darkness was thick in that time. They'd been under oppression. They'd been in captivity. They'd been slaves to the Assyrians. The darkness was thick. It's why it says that it was like a thick cloud that just covered the land. But Isaiah says, or God says through Isaiah to his people, "Arise and shine, because your light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you." We live in a time where there's a lot of darkness. I'm not sure that there's many of us, and I'm a pretty optimistic person. I'm a pretty positive person. I'm not trying to be, you know, Debbie Downer. But there's times when I look back on life, I look at 2013. I'm not sure there's many people who look at what's happened in the last year and go, you know, things are getting better around here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's some people, you know, they're eternal optimists. Things are getting better around here. Man's in control, and technology is really going to save us someday and not just provide us with more iPhones. There aren't many people who look back over their shoulder at 2013 and say, things are getting better. It's looking brighter. There's less problems. There's more justice than there was before. I don't think that's true. I think most people, and I'm not even just talking about church-going people, you know, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about people who love Jesus. I think most people have this sort of understanding, this general consensus that things are getting worse, that our world is growing further and further apart from God, and there's more fighting and terrorism. There's more darkness. There's more shadows. There's more death. There's more oppression. There's more gloom. And that's what that word in the Hebrew means. The word darkness means gloom and oppression. There's more of that, and most people would say that's what's happening in our world too, Isaiah. Not just in your world. It's happening in our world too. We look back even just locally or just in as a government, as a country, I should say, and you look back on 2013, and I don't know if you got caught up in any of those stories, you know, the stories of the year. I mean, they're all tragic stories. Like if it's not a snowstorm, it's an ice storm. It's not an ice storm, it's a flood, or it's a flu pandemic, or it's, you know, another awful thing that it's corruption in politics. You know, really, yeah, really? And those are just the things that come off the top of my head. And it's all about darkness, and it's about an enemy who is doing everything in his power to convince us that he's in control. Now, we know that's not true. But he is exerting his power, and he is blowing darkness, the cloud of darkness. He is breathing that over all kinds of people. We have become, someone mentioned it earlier, but we have become more and more self-absorbed. Everything is about self. Everything is about us being greedy, about what's for me. That hasn't changed. It's only worsened. It's only worsened in the last years. And the enemy is doing everything he can to have us believe that he's in control and that everything is going to go to hell. That there's no hope. There's no hope. I mean, understand this, that that's where the Israelites were when they heard these words of Isaiah. They believed there's no hope. There's only gloom and oppression. We are under the enemy's thumb. We are slaves. We are captives. There's no hope for any of us. And God says, uh-uh, ain't true. Let me tell you something. I am your God. I am the eternal King. I am the Lord who holds today in my hand, but I hold tomorrow in my hand too. And I will take care of you. I will watch over you, and I will provide for you because I said that I would. I am the God who said, you're not just Carl. You are my son, Carl. You are my boy. You don't look much like a boy, but to God, you are my boy. You are my daughter. You're my child. I love you. I'm not going to let you go. Don't listen to the voice of the Assyrian, the voice of the Babylonian. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy who says that there's no hope for you. There is great hope for you. There's great hope for your son. There's great hope for your daughter. There's great hope for your marriage because God is a God of great hope. Arise, he says. Arise and shine, for the glory and the light of the Lord has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. We know, and I'm just telling you what you already know, I think, but we know that light is Jesus Christ, right? The light that has come, I mean, this is such a messianic promise, you know, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, where Isaiah says, your light has come. Earlier on in Isaiah chapter 9, he said, those living in darkness have seen a great light. Right? And those living under the shadow of that oppressed darkness, to those a great light has been revealed. We know this. And I want to remind you of it today. It's something Frank was saying, Leanne was saying, Jerry was saying, that it's all about Jesus. Jesus is my light. He is the one who came as he was prophesied to come. He is the Messiah. He is the Redeemer. He's the one who has changed everything. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, let me read that to you. Jesus spoke to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, put those two words together. We're going to have the light of life. That life and light have something to do with each other. Backing up, you're going to hear it again. Just hang on to that thought. Backing up in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was Jesus. He was with God. He was God, and he was with God the Father in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You get that? Where there is light, where Jesus' light shines, there's life. Right? There's life. Where Jesus' light shines, and he said, I am the light of the world, right? Well, where his light shines, there's life. And there are people, probably even here today, some of us here, but people that you know, people out there, people who have nothing to do with God, they're walking in darkness. You guys know who they are. I can hear you see that. You know people like that. Maybe they're family members. Maybe they're friends. They're walking in darkness, and it's like John says, and they don't even know it. They don't even realize that there's anything. Can you imagine this? They can't even imagine that there's anything but darkness. That's what happens if you've spent your entire existence in darkness. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people who've done that. They were raised in darkness. There was no light from mom and dad. There was no light from even, grandpa and grandma. They've been walking in darkness. Well, Isaiah said, it's like you're groping around and you're feeling for, it's a thick darkness. There are people, many, many, many people, not just in South Africa, not just in Stettler, and not just in Indonesia. There are people in our lives who are walking around in that thick darkness. And it's up to you and me to shine a light, to shine the light and to arise. Arise and shine, because they're walking around, they're stumbling around, they're groping around in darkness, and they don't have anything. And they don't know. They don't know any better. They don't know any better. There's hope. There's life. Do you get that? Where the light of Jesus is, and that light is in you, Terry, right? So where the light, Lynn, when God's light, when the light of Jesus, he said, I am the light of the world. When that light comes out of you, you know what happens? There's life that comes out of you. Now that is a profound, I wish I'd thought of it. I didn't. It's in the Bible. That's the most profound theology, a most profound teaching. If you have the light of Jesus coming out of your life, Mitch, then there's life. There's life, man. It's a fountain that flows from inside of you. There's life for people who are dying and dead and stuck in the shadows. Wow, Jesus said in John 3, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Jesus said, you know this passage. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, stop. Just wait. We're going to get to the good part. Whoever believes in him, he said. Not just middle class white people, not just, educated people, not just the in crowd, but whoever believes in him. Anyone who will believe in him will not perish, but will be given eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But listen, here's what he says after that. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Who is that light? Jesus, let me hear you. Who is that light? Jesus. Who is that light? Jesus. Who is that light? Jesus. There we go. Yeah. Here's the verdict. There should be people, I like that about the buffalo. We had people living above us, you know, and we would do that, and then they'd hear. We don't have that. We need to make some apartments up there or something. You know? Who is that light? It's Jesus, right? Well, here's the verdict. Jesus, the light, has come into the world. But men, now get this, men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Here's the word today. That where there's the light of Jesus, there's life. And many of us here in this room today, we have chosen to come into the light. And you know what it's meant? It has meant that my sins have been exposed, and that's been tough. It was better, you know, it seemed better at the time to keep it secret. I didn't want everyone to know. We come into the light, and he goes, okay, look at yourself. You are lost, and you are without hope except for Jesus. But we come into the light, and we are exposed by the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ so that once again, we can shine his light to other people. It is God's light. And maybe we'll talk about this a little more next week, but it's not my light that shines. It's God's light that shines in me. It's God's light that shines in you. And there are people who walk in the darkness because they choose to walk in the darkness. They are more comfortable walking in the darkness than they would be walking in the light, and it's because of fear. They're afraid of the light, they're afraid of Jesus, and they're afraid that everything that they've done will be exposed. But God calls us through Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. God calls us to go into the world and let our light shine. And there's a message. There's a message of hope, and it's not condemnation. And man, if you're going out doing street ministry, or you're talking to your neighbor, or you're talking to the person across the hall, and you're doing this to them, you're doing it wrong. Thank you, Matt. You're doing it because he didn't come. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Condemnation doesn't bring anyone to Christ. Jesus, the Bible says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? We have the light that reveals Christ. We need to reveal him to all of those who are out there who are still walking in that thick darkness. They need to know that there is this great, forgiving, merciful, gracious light of Jesus that will give them life, eternal life. Amen. Thank you, God. I mean, that's where he's leading us. And I know that's where God wants us to go. I know because it's not rocket science. I know because his word is so clear, right? And it isn't just a specific little message for Potter's Hands. It's for the whole church. Potter's Hands doesn't matter. The church matters. We need to get hand in hand with other ministries, with other believers, with other spirit-filled, you know, churches, and know that we are in this together. Know that we have the power of life because the light of Christ is in all of us. So lead on, God. That's my prayer today. Lead on, Lord. Help us to understand, because I don't think we're getting it exactly, that we are life givers. How amazing it is that we can actually breathe life into someone. Do you realize that you have that ability because you belong to Jesus? That you can expose that darkness, not through condemnation, but with love. And you can set the captive free just as clearly as the captives at the time of that Babylonian captivity were set free. So God, I pray today that you will fill us with your light. I pray that your light will bring great life to many people. There's a lot of the walking dead. There is the walking dead all around us. And they're walking in that gloom and in that thickness of all the blackness, Lord. You tell us that, your word tells us that those walking in darkness have seen a great light. And that light is Jesus. So Jesus, I pray that you will just reflect from my life. And I know that there have been lots of times I haven't done that very well. Help me to do that better. I pray that your light will shine in me. And we pray, Lord, as we move into this new year, we do this with confidence. We know that Satan, is not in control. We don't need to be afraid of him. We believe and we belong to you, Jesus. You are the light of the world. So lead us, God. Lead us, Jesus. And even today, God, I know there's some people in our hearts. And I want to pray just in general, Lord, for those people. There's people we know who are just keeping on sucking back that darkness. All they breathe is that cloud of gloom. And there's people in our hearts right now. Just bring those people to you, Jesus. Maybe they're our own children or family members, people we work with, people we live with. In the name of Jesus, we pray for revelation. In the name of Jesus, right now, I pray that your light will shine. And I pray that everything and the way that we live and everything that we do will not detract from your light, but will enhance your light. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for salvation, God. We want to see what you want to see, God. We know that you're not willing that any should perish. So we're just praying your heart right now when we pray that there will be many, many hundreds and hundreds of people, Lord, that will get on their knees and will bow down before you and receive that eternal life. You are the God of life. We pray for that, God. And this is not hard when we do it with you. It's hard if we try to do it ourselves. We try to manufacture it. We try to manipulate it. We don't want to do any of that. We just want to surrender to you, Jesus, and ask you to change hearts and bring more and more and more people to you, God. Genuine conversion, people turning their lives to Jesus, the light of the world. Have your way among us, God. You do whatever you want to do this year. We surrender to you, God. We surrender to you. I thank you, God, that you have equipped us with every gift, that we have all the power, and that we have your truth. Let your truth be on our lips, God. We expect great things this year. We're going to follow you, Lord, with all of our hearts. We're going to follow you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Want to come up? Why don't we do that to Have Thine Own Way song? Can we do that to close? Isn't that good? Thank you, God. Don't be afraid. If you need, just as they're getting ready to do this last song, if you need something today from God, you know, like I think Frank and Leanne are more than happy to minister. You're more than happy to stand in the front here and pray for people. And there'll be others. It's time to start this year correctly. You know, start it with God. Come for prayer. We're going to sing this song together. Bring your needs. Bring your needs to the altar, yeah. Let's stand up. Have your own way. Have thine own way.
Have thine own way.
Of life. Shine that light. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance. That's that glory of God. Let the glory of God be upon you. Amen. God bless you.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. And why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercies for you and for me. Won't you come home?
Come home.
Come home.
Come home.
Please, are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Thank you.